This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Silas Marner, The Weaver of Raveloe, by George Eliot. Chapter 15. There was one person, as you will believe, who watched with keener, though more hidden interest than any other, the prosperous growth of Eppie under the weaver's care. He dared not do anything that would imply a stronger interest in a poor man's adopted child than could be expected from the kindliness of the young squire, when a chance meeting suggested a little present to a simple old fellow whom others noticed with goodwill. But he told himself that the time would come when he might do something towards furthering the welfare of his daughter without incurring suspicion. Was he very uneasy in the meantime at his inability to give his daughter her birthright? I cannot say that he was. The child was being taken care of, and would very likely be happy, as people in humble stations often were, happier, perhaps, than those brought up in luxury. That famous ring that pricked its owner when he forgot duty and followed desire, I wonder if it pricked very hard when he set out on the chase, or whether it pricked but lightly then, and only pierced to the quick when the chase had long been ended, and Hope, folding her wings, looked backward and became regret. Godfrey Cass's cheek and eye were brighter than ever now. He was so undivided in his aims that he seemed like a man of firmness. No Duncie had come back. People had made up their minds that he was gone for a soldier or gone out of the country, and no one cared to be specific in their inquiries on a subject delicate to a respectable family. Godfrey had ceased to see the shadow of Duncie across his path, and the path now lay straightforward to the accomplishment of his best, long-cherished wishes. Everybody said Mr. Godfrey had taken the right turn, and it was pretty clear what would be the end of things, for there were not many days in the week that he was not seen riding to the Warrens. Godfrey himself, when he was asked jocosely if the day had been fixed, smiled with the pleasant consciousness of a lover who could say yes, if he liked. He felt a reformed man, delivered from temptation, and the vision of his future life seemed to him as a promised land for which he had no cause to fight. He saw himself with all his happiness centered on his own hearth, while Nancy would smile on him as he played with the children. And that other child, not on the hearth, he would not forget it. He would see that it was well provided for. That was a father's duty. End of chapter 15. End of part 1.